My guest at this time is Rob Pincus. He is the owner of ICE Training Company. He is a firearms and personal defense expert, a professional trainer, and he is obviously a voice that is one to be heard in the current gun debate that's playing out in Washington and many different states around the country about whether restrictions on the types of guns that can be used, amount of ammunition, background checks are important ways to perhaps curb the number of mass shootings in this country or just reduce the amount of violence in the country. And Rob, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's definitely an important time right now in our country to have these conversations, and I appreciate you want to talk about it with me.
It's good to have you with us, because I think even in some cases on both sides of this issue, a lot of the argument is being conducted by folks who don't have a lot of experience with firearms. You obviously do. You're an expert with them. You've trained people with them for years. You've put out dozens of videos on this, and so you know this backwards and forwards. When it comes to protecting oneself, how much of an advantage is it to have a firearm?
It's an incredible advantage in some of the worst-case scenarios that we can think of. And, you know, of course, that's the issue. That's the crux of it right there. I mean, you know, we have people giving out some advice on both sides that are sometimes very tightly tailored to one specific scenario. You know, obviously, we've had the Vice President of the United States suggest that people fire a shotgun in the air to scare away a bad guy. Well, you know, not only is teaching somebody to shoot a shotgun in the air a reckless act in and of itself, it's also dependent upon the person psychologically being stopped and not actually being able to you know, follow through based on just their will to fight. Well, if every bad guy we were going to try to defend ourselves from was a coward, that works great. But if we have one of these spree killers, if we have someone who's intent through a home invasion to hurt someone, they're not likely to simply be scared away by the sound of a shotgun.
He's made that comment, the vice president has, a number of times now, about preferring a shotgun over one of these semi-automatic guns that looks like an automatic weapon, like the AR-15 that's getting all the attention. He has basically said that you don't need something like an AR-15, that a shotgun will do the job just fine. What do you say in response to that?
Well, what I've said about the need issue with the ARs or any type of firearm, or, you know, a magazine that holds more than 7 rounds or 10 rounds is this. I can certainly imagine scenarios where I would need to have a lot of rounds. I can certainly imagine scenarios where I would need to have the capability of controlling those rounds through a rifle, a semi-automatic rifle, where I can fire those rounds quickly and accurately. Multiple-person home invasions, it would be an easy example that could obviously happen to any home in any part of the country. Good home, you know, good neighborhood, bad neighborhood, anyway. The reality is those things are very rare, and that's what those on the anti-gun side play on, is the idea that those scenarios are very, very rare, and most people would love to think that it could never happen to them. But because those situations are possible, the good news is that in America we have the right and the option to have those higher capacity magazines, to have the semi-automatic military-styled rifles in our homes. We have the option of training with them to be prepared for those worst-case scenarios. In the meantime, we can do the recreational shooting, we can do the target shooting, or we can just be a firearms collector if we want. There's a lot of reasons to have them, and there certainly is a plausible need for them.
What have you seen in terms of response over the past couple of months to folks purchasing weapons and those looking for training from you and others as a result of all this?
A dramatic uptick, you know, and what's interesting about it is it's not just firearms owners. I think some people will portray it as if people who already own, you know, 5, 10, 15 firearms are running out and buying everything off the shelves in case there are bans or in case there are restrictions in certain areas. And that's really, you know, I'm in the training industry. If that were true, my business would not be any busier. The fact is, I'm busier. All of our certified instructors all across the country in the Combat Focus Shooting Program are busier. The reason we're busier is because people who are new to firearms or people who are just now thinking about the fact that the firearm could be their best defensive option in the home or outside of the home are out looking for training. They're looking for an education, and that's why they come to ICE Training Company, and obviously we're more than happy to provide that service. That's what we do. But it's really been a huge shift, and it's not just the last few months. It's really been over the last several years that we've seen more and more new firearms owners, people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who didn't grow up with guns, who are looking for valid information geared towards defensive shooting, not competition, not hunting, and not recreational shooting.
As you've probably also seen, Rob, in some of these state debates playing across the country, some have said that, well, conceal and carry for women on campus, they might end up feeling threatened when they really aren't threatened. They could end up shooting somebody that wasn't actually a threat to them. That leads into the whole larger conceal and carry debate. What's your sense on how much of a difference conceal and carry can make, not only in the minds of those who are packing heat, but to those who might think about going to a very public place and doing some serious harm?
Well, I think there's a huge deterrent effect. I think that's just a reality. Anywhere you look where the laws are less restrictive, where people have a greater option to protect themselves, and where it's known to the rest of the population, including the very small percentage of the population that are predators, that are criminals, where they know that the person they walk up to in the mall parking lot could be carrying a firearm, they're much less likely to walk up to that person and pick them as a victim. You know, if we look at, I just saw a recent statistic that the 20 worst cities to live in include 19 that are run by very liberal leadership and have very restrictive firearms laws. And obviously very restrictive firearms laws, like we see in Chicago, lead to a very high crime rate because the criminals don't care about the laws, and they know that most people do care about following the laws in their jurisdiction, so they know that they're going to be able to find victims. So there's a huge deterrent effect. Now, getting back to the first thing you said, I do want to address that as being, and I know it's not your words, but the idea that a woman is going to carry a firearm and accidentally shoot someone because she perceives being threatened when she's really not. Honestly, I find that to be a very typically condescending argument. And unfortunately, it comes from the political side that has fought for women's rights, that's fought for equality, that's fought for everybody being seen as capable of doing anything they want. And to be demeaning towards a woman as if the fact that she's now trained and responsibly carrying a firearm is going to make her judgment fail, is going to put her in a position where she's going to panic. Honestly, I find quite the opposite to be true. The women who are realizing they have a right and responsibility to personal protection, who are getting the training, and who are more aware of their surroundings are much less likely to panic and make the proper decision.
What's the crux in terms of responsibility? You mentioned all these new people who haven't really had any experience with firearms before. When they go through your course, which I would imagine is comprehensive, but over a relatively short period of time, what are some of the concepts you hammer home most effectively to make sure that they do know what they're doing once they have them on their own?
Well, the number one thing that we stress, by the time they get to us, most people are on one of two levels. There's a first level where they come to us and they say, hey, we don't know anything about firearms. Help us figure this out. And that's where we really draw a distinct line between, you know, here's a generic firearm and here's generic target shooting and marksmanship training. And then there's this other subset, which is defensive firearms, firearms that are appropriate for the defensive use, that they're efficient, they're reliable, they're convenient to carry or convenient to store in your home. And then there's the training that goes along with them. And we really stress that for people, is that there is a difference between just shooting and actually being prepared to defend yourself with a firearm. And then that leads us to the second set of people. The second set of people that come to us are already shooters, already established those fundamental marksmanship skills, and they're really coming to get task-specific information to carrying a concealed firearm, presenting that firearm from a holster under duress, and getting rapid, accurate hits to defend themselves or others. The first class might be 2 to 4 hours, you know, where we explain the types of guns and the fundamental things they need to know about them. The next class could be a half day of fundamental skill development, or, you know, a full week that includes things like, you know, shooting from inside of a vehicle or around a vehicle, because we know, unfortunately, a lot of bad things happen, you know, in a public space around a vehicle. So the level of training that people need, the level of training people want, really does range from a matter of a couple hours to many months of recurrent training.
In addition to all the work that Rob and his colleagues do with established as well as new firearms owners, he has come up with different videos, different courses, one of which is the School Attacker Response Course. And obviously Sandy Hook and Virginia Tech, some of these other school shootings have really been the impetus behind this push for more restrictive gun laws. What do you talk about in that course that would have been very helpful for some of the folks in these tragic situations?
Well, the School Attacker Response Course that we offer is first of all, 100% free. We do instructor development. We certify instructors for free, and then we encourage those instructors, obviously, to go out and teach in schools and in their communities for free as well. There are other programs out there that take a similar approach. ALICE is one of them. The ALERT facility down in Texas is another one that teaches a similar proactive approach. And what it comes down to is an evolution from the lockdown, simply hide and hope philosophy that unfortunately is prevalent in our school systems right now, to an evolution where we tell individuals that they do have to realize they may have to defend themselves. So just like after Columbine in the 90s, law enforcement officers realized that the average patrol officer could not stand outside and listen to gunshots being fired in a school and wait for the special SWAT guys to show up, we're now reminding teachers that they cannot stand in their classroom, and when the bad guy comes in with the gun, they can't hope that miraculously a policeman or a SWAT member, SWAT team member, is going to show up at the exact instant they need it. So we talk about three steps. First step is to evade. We tell students, tell teachers and students that, you know, leaving campus might be a good idea. There was one classroom out in the Newtown killings. One classroom, the only kids who survived were kids who ran out of the classroom and actually left campus and went to a home of a trusted adult. Some lockdown policies would lead kids to believe you would never leave campus. You never even leave your classroom. And there's a time and a place when those things are actually the right things to do. The second is to barricade, and that's in line with a lot of the philosophies that are out there now about lockdown. How do you reinforce your room? How do you make it harder for the bad guy to get into a position to hurt you or the kids? And the last phase, which is really the most important evolution, is the response phase. We tell people that if the bad guy comes in the room, you are absolutely 100% capable of preventing injury, disabling that attacker, or at least distracting him from his plan by taking action and using the things that you can find in any schoolroom, including the massive number of people, the 10, 15, 20, 30 people in that room, to fight against that armed attacker, overwhelm him, and end the killer.
Last question for you, Rob. If you could offer whatever advice you wanted to lawmakers here in Washington and the states around the country, what would you say?
I would say that this is really about being responsibly capable of defending yourself. Being a responsible firearms owner means that you're going to make sure that the firearms don't get into the wrong hands. You're going to secure your firearms. We're going to go through the background checks. We're going to make sure that the wrong people don't have easy access to firearms. We're going to make sure that the right people, the people who want to be responsibly armed and who want to get the training and who want to be capable of protecting themselves, their family, their home, their community, you know, ultimately under the Constitution, maybe protecting our country with the training and with the tools that they've gotten, we want to make sure that they do have access to the best tools and the best training they can get. So the best thing that we can do here is really preach responsibility, not restriction.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Where can folks find more about you and the programs you offer?
ICETraining.us is my primary website, but the best place for people to go for quick and easy information is PersonalDefenseNetwork.com. We have a whole team of instructors. The DVDs you were talking about us producing is all through Personal Defense Network, and there's a lot of free articles and free video clips at that website where people can learn everything from the most fundamental the firearms use to some advanced defensive skills.
PersonalDefenseNetwork.com, again, is the website. Rob, thank you very much for being with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Rob Pincus is a firearms and personal defense expert, owner of the ICE Training Company. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.